So it's going to be exciting, this exciting day today. Looking forward to that. I just had a few just kind of comments and words on baptism. I just wanted to share with us as we get going here today, just for maybe about 15 or 20 minutes. And, you know, that's pastor talk for a half hour, right? So stick with me. And just a few things about maybe what I believe about baptism, as well as maybe what traditionally the Christian church believes. So if you remember, it was about a year ago that I was baptized here for the second time, and you might think that's weird. The pastor got baptized, and if you remember the story, my story goes like this, so I'll just share it really quick. I grew up going to church and was baptized when I was a kid, and I remember the day. I specifically remember the day I got baptized, First Baptist Church of Salinas, and it was one of those things where behind the stage there was like this built-in, really fancy tub back there, and we all lined up. It was like an assembly line, and we lined up, and we walked down the steps into the water. Pastor baptized us. We walk up on the other side, and there was a bunch of kids that got baptized the same day I did, and I don't know how God, you know, looks at the heart, but if I believed in Jesus at that time, I barely believed in him. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really live at all like I believed in him. And my testimony is long. I don't want to take that time to do that today. So for many years, I was really under conviction that I'm not even sure I was saved when I got baptized the first time. And I wanted to get baptized for many years, but I kept chickening out. I'll be honest. I was really nervous because I was like, oh, I've been a pastor now. Like, the longer I was a pastor, the harder it got, because I don't want people to, that's a weird thing. Why is he getting baptized? But finally, I just couldn't like resist the conviction anymore from the Holy Spirit. And so last year, on April 1st, Easter Sunday, I got baptized. It was really exciting. Me and Megan together, that was cool. So anyways, baptism is a special event in the lives of believers. We don't, as Christians, we don't get a whole bunch, I always tell people this, we don't get a whole bunch of like memorable special events that we get to celebrate as Christians, but baptism is one of them. So I'm excited. Today I've been excited all week talking to people, so we're going to get to that in a few minutes. What is baptism? Here's a pretty simple definition. Baptism is simply a ceremony where a believer identifies themselves with Jesus. I believe in Jesus, and I want everybody to know that I believe in Jesus. And that I want to commit my life. I want to be obedient to Jesus. And I want everybody to know that. And so we get in the water, and we go down in the water, and we come back up out of the water, and that symbolizes our relationship with Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. Jesus, in Matthew 28, some of the last words that he spoke before he resurrected, or excuse me, before he ascended into heaven, he spoke the words in Matthew 28. Let me read them to you. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's a few thoughts I just wanted to kind of bring out and remind us of today about baptism. The first one here is that baptism is for believers. If you notice the wording of the command Jesus gives here, did you see it? Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, he says, "First, go and make disciples, and then to baptize them." Who gets baptized? A disciple of Jesus. baptism for believers. Baptism is something that should be done by anyone who believes in the gospel of Jesus. If a person believes in Jesus, he died on the cross for their sins, he was buried, and then he rose again. If you believe that he saved you from your sins by faith, you're a believer in Jesus, and you should be baptized. This seems to be the pattern in the early church. You know, right after Jesus ascended into heaven and his disciples were left on earth, he sent his Spirit, and they began to meet and gather, and the 12 apostles began to take the leadership and began to teach people. And as they began to teach and evangelize and tell people about Jesus, thousands of people were coming to know Jesus. Thousands of people were beginning to believe in Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter, the apostle, preaches this great sermon. And it says there were thousands of people that were convicted by the words of Peter. They were brought under conviction. They began to be challenged to believe in Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, a really cool verse, Acts chapter 2, they get convicted, and they turn to the apostles, and they say, what do we do? Like, they were just so overwhelmed by the message of Jesus. They said, what do we do now? Tell us what we need to do now. And Peter says in verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, a couple of verses before that, he says that you're to repent of your sins, and you are to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened in verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. But did you see the pattern there? Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is for believers. A little bit later, there was an evangelist named Philip, and he was traveling around, and he met a guy, and he was in a little village, and he began to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, many people believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. You see the pattern there again? Many believed, and then they were baptized. Acts chapter 10 tells us the same thing. Peter is sent to the house of a man named Cornelius, a non-Jew, a Gentile, a man, and he began to preach the gospel to him. And while he was speaking, it says the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard his words. And what do we know when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life? What do we know about that person? That they're saved, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't come to people that are not saved. In the new covenant, Holy Spirit came unto somebody that, and they're saved. And then Peter commanded them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptism is for believers, and it's a command. And just like any other command, when we do not obey something that we should obey, that we know to be true, it's a disobedience if we're not doing it. If we know something is true, if Jesus has told us to do something and we don't do it, we're being disobedient. Baptism is for believers. I'm really excited today that we get to baptize a young little girl who's just now learning about Jesus and just now being able to express her belief in Jesus. Is she too young? No way. She believes in Jesus, she could baptize. That's the command we're talking about in the Scripture. Baptism for believers. Now, with that said, another very important thing for us to understand about baptism is that baptism in and of itself does not save a person. I just said baptism for believers, but can you be saved and not be baptized? Yes, you can. If you're saved, should you be baptized? Yes, you should. But baptism, the act of baptism, does not earn our salvation. It does not get us into heaven. There's only one thing that gets us into heaven, that's believing in Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Another verse, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He saved us, Jesus saved us, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." It's very important for us to understand that salvation is not given to us on the basis of any righteous acts that we have done. Salvation is totally by the grace of God. It's completely by Jesus saving us through His grace and our faith in Him. And so it's important for us to understand that a ceremony like baptism, whereas it's super important, does not assure us of our salvation. But we continually look to the work of Jesus on the cross. And let me just stop for a minute and introduce a little bit of my personal conviction on this. And this may or may not even be the agreement of all the elders of the church, but it is kind of what I think. But I think is if we can draw a line right here that's called salvation, and nothing we do, no works can earn us this salvation. But once we believe, we have the responsibility to obey the commands of Jesus. And so we do all these things, and I think baptism, if it's not saves us, it's like right under that line. I think baptism is so important that it's right there. It's right there. And that's, you just read through the scriptures, and that's the sense you'll get, right? Somebody believed, and they were baptized. Believed, and they were baptized. They're so closely associated with each other all throughout the New Testament. And Yeah, baptism in and of itself doesn't save us. A third thing I just want us to be reminded of is baptism symbolizes our salvation. It doesn't save us, but it symbolizes our salvation. It's so important for us to understand the spiritual change that's happened in our lives. There's a few passages that talk about this. One of them is in Romans chapter 6. There, Paul teaches that baptism is an illustration for our relationship and our union with Jesus. Let me read a few verses, Romans chapter 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? No, absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Baptism is an illustration. It's an example of the spiritual change that has gone on in our hearts as we believe in Jesus. This passage is not talking about the ceremonial act of baptism like we're going to do in a few minutes. What it is talking about is the reality of our converted lives. In verse 3, we see that we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It simply means this. It's referring to the relationship that we as believers have with Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, Paul's saying right here that we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We have been made one. We have been unified with Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, we're joined to Him. the righteousness that we've been given is not our own. It doesn't dwell naturally within us. But when we're saved and when we believe in Jesus, Jesus takes all of his righteousness. Remember, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago if you were here. Jesus is the only human being that ever lived that had righteousness innately dwelling within him. It was like his possession. It wasn't given to him. Everyone else, all the rest of us, all the rest of the people that ever lived, we can be righteous, but we have to be given the righteousness from Jesus. That's the big difference. And once we get it, though, yeah, we're all in. We got it, and we can do everything and live the way that Jesus lived once we get it. But Jesus is the one who has to give it to us. And that's what happens when we believe in him. We're joined with him. We become one with him. And we're given this righteousness. We've been immersed into Jesus. He goes on to say in this passage in Romans 6 that we've also been immersed into Christ's death. All of our sins were there when Jesus died. When Jesus died on the cross, he took every single one of our sins, even though we were not going to even be born for a couple thousand years later. We were still there. Our sins were taken with Jesus on the cross. And not only did our sins go with him on the cross, but our sins went with him into the grave, and they were buried there, Paul says. But just like Jesus didn't stay dead, he came back alive. So spiritually, when we believe in Jesus, we come back alive. And that's what baptism symbolizes, right? We take somebody down into the water, and it symbolizes the death of our old lifestyle, our old ways, our the things that we did before we knew Jesus. We don't want those part of our lives anymore, so we get rid of them, spiritually speaking. We bury them with Christ. And then, we don't stay under the water, right, for many reasons, but we come back up out of that water, right? And that symbolizes the new relationship we have with Jesus, the new life we share with him. It's a physical illustration of a spiritual change that has happened. You guys get that, right? You understand that? Here's just the one final little last thing, and then we're going to get into our baptism in just a second. Baptism identifies us with the body of Christ. This was especially important as the church was getting going. And it's important today as well. I don't want to overlook that. Every believer, when you believe in Jesus, has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And because of that, we belong to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not just a building. It's not just a place. It's all people who believe in Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we're joined and unified not only with him, but with all other believers all around the world. And that's a cool thing. The church is not just Pastor Owl's Bible Church, but we're all the church here, no matter where you live, wherever you're at. And so therefore, when we celebrate baptism, the ceremony of baptism, it expresses that reality that a person, their conversion to Jesus, they've been placed into the body of Christ. They have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit allows a person to live and talk and walk like Jesus lived and talked and walked. So, just a summary, and we'll wrap this up right here. Christian baptism is a sign for us, and it signifies a few things. Number one, it signifies an inward cleansing and a removal of sin. Secondly, it signifies a new life that we have in Christ. And third, it symbolizes the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Our union with Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, this union is the source of a believer's salvation. And it expresses to those who are being baptized that they have been unified with the body of Christ. And because of that, they're challenged to live a committed and obedient life to Jesus. And so in just a few minutes, if you're going to get baptized, why don't you go and get ready and do that? And in a few minutes, I'm going to give opportunity for those that are getting baptized to share a little bit about what brought them here today, okay? Some people have been believers for a few years. Well, why are they getting baptized today? I'm going to give them a chance to share about that in just a minute. While they're getting ready, I wanted to take a minute and just, if the elders of the church could come on up here, I just want to take a minute and introduce to you the elders of our church. So guys, come on up here. Just recently, we were talking in an elder meeting. Just recently, it was us three right here. And we were praying about the opportunity to ask some new people to be part of the elders. Just so you guys know, church is an elder-ruled church, elder-run church, following the pattern set forth in the New Testament. And really what that means practically is that, you know, when there's a situation, a concern, or even an opportunity to shepherd people, it's the elders that shepherd people. That's at the end of the day what an elder is, what an elder means. It means someone who shepherds. And so we were praying, three of us were praying about opportunity to have some new elders come and be part of that leadership team. And the Lord led us to a list of a few people. And out of that list, three, Steve, John, Tim, said, yes, I will receive that calling and to shepherd people at Pastoral's Bible Church. So I just wanted to take a minute and get us all up here. Some of you, just to get a look at these guys' faces, and for a few reasons. One is so that when you see them around, that you're able to know that these are the people that have been called and commissioned really from Jesus to shepherd you guys. And we do it, we want to do it. We do it with joy. We do it because it's what, all of these guys right here, I was like, you guys, you do it already anyways. So why don't you join the elder board and help us? And they were very agreeing on that. So what I want to do while they're getting ready, just really quickly, is I want to ask you to pray for us. Okay. Being a shepherd over a group of people it can be challenging at times, we need prayer. There's the enemy doesn't like faithful leaders, and you guys know that. So maybe even right now in this moment, if two or three of you would even be bold enough to come on up here and lay hands on us as elders and pray for us. Specific thing that we talked about that we would like prayer for would be for an anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we would lead with that in our hearts and our lives. So if anybody would be willing to come and pray for us and lay hands, the rest of us, Know that we pray for you guys, and we pray for you guys regularly. And so, anyways, let's pray. Debbie, thank you. Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the calling and the answer to the calling that you've placed on these men's lives. We thank you the way that you've designed us to be your body, And Jesus, we ask you to come in, and just with the fullness of being the head of this body, we ask you to be here amongst us and with these men, to protect them, to give them wisdom and discernment. And we just invite the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be, to speak to them, to minister to them, Lord, and to minister to this body, just in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to see you exalted in this place as your body. We want to worship you and minister to one another in a way that exalts you, Jesus. We want to be a testimony to the world around us that we are the body of Christ. And we just thank you for setting leaders in place who will take the time to be in prayer, to be in minister to one another and to your body, and just like lead us into the places that you want us to go. We thank you, Jesus, for this. We thank you so much. We look forward with great excitement and enthusiasm to what you've called this body to be in this time and this place.
Father God, in an army, there are several different divisions. There's the rifle people, and there's the, who I don't remember. Anyway, medical people, whatever. So in the kingdom, in the battle for the saved to be released from the enemy's clutch, I know that you have a specific purpose and division for Paso Robles Bible Church. And so whatever that is, Father God, that you would tell these men and illuminate to them, what is that specific purpose for Paso Robles Bible Church in this big God's army? We can't all be shooters, and we can't all be the Navy. We can't all be the pilot, you know, the people in the airplanes and all that. But we have something. There is something that you have for us to do, and we're going to be good at it, God, because you're going to back us up with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray that in the next few months, in the next few years, you would illuminate what that special, specific purpose, Father God, is to these men, and that once they reveal it to us, that we would get right behind them, and we'll say, yes, I confirm that. That is what we have specifically our purpose here in Paso Robles, California, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it for God's glory. Amen.
God, thank you so much for these men who are willing to step up and to be leaders. It isn't always easy, and we know by your Spirit and your power, the power of your name is going to grow these men even more, give them strength, give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding to lead this body of people. God, who would have thought all those years ago when we met Mark even in college? And here we are. And the vision that David had for PRBC and these other men who have come alongside and joined the team, it's amazing, God, and the time frames and how it goes. We are so thankful. We are thankful for this body. We're thankful for these men and their families. We do pray in your powerful, wonderful name, that you will protect them and their families, that you will encourage them always, and that they would not despair in any way, that the enemy cannot harm them. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, I just thank you so much for these men, Father. I thank you that they have given their lives up for you, God, not just for salvation, Father, but for day-by-day actions, Lord. I just thank you that they have set aside their flesh, Lord, that they have picked up your Spirit, God. I pray for an anointing of that Spirit right now, Lord, that would fall over them, God, that there be a fresh anointing of your Spirit, God, that as it pours over them, Father, that you will guide, you will direct always, Lord, not just in big decisions, Father, but in just the chance to sit and talk with someone, Lord. I thank you again for their lives, God. I thank you for their leadership, Father, in all of our lives, God. I thank you for entrusting them with this stewardship, God, entrusting them with this leadership, God. We lift them up to you, God, just in honor, Lord, in honor of you and in honor of these men, God. Continue to just fall fresh on them, Lord. Give them the vision, give them the direction, through your Holy Spirit, that would guide and direct, and just push on, push us on, and push us towards you, Father.
Father, I know all these men here, and I just appreciate them all standing up. They're good men. And Lord, may their decisions be through you, that your guidance will lead them and lead this church. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for our PRBC congregation, and these men are willing to just be there for us, and how awesome is that? And I just pray you'll protect them and let them have ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for them and for us. In your precious name we pray, amen.
And Father God, I too just thank you for this church body and just what you are doing through this church body and for the leadership, Lord. And Father God, I just agree with all these prayers and just ask for just direction, Father God, and that they would just empty themselves, Lord God, and just allow you to fill them, Father, with the divine wisdom that comes from above, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for Mark's shepherd's heart, Lord God, and just the way that he's seeing some of the unseen things, Lord God, that goes unnoticed sometimes, Father. It's a real blessing to see that. And just, Lord, I know that you have something for us to do, just like the one prayer, Father. And so I pray, God, that you would reveal it, Lord God, that we'd get behind it, and that we would be a kingdom church for you in Paso Robles here, Lord God, because the mission field is ripe. I mean, we live right here in the Central Coast where the vineyards are, Lord, and if that's not a word picture, I don't know what is. And so, Lord, may we be your workers here and just being about your business. And just we just thank you for these leaders, and we just ask you to bless them and protect them.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Thank you all. Okay, so it is time, I think. Are they ready in there? We've got five getting baptized this morning. All right. Huh? Whoever's first in line, doesn't matter. Remember, it's an assembly line. Oh, all right. Kids, you can come on up.
All right.
Kids, come on up, right up here.
Okay, this is Cassandra Thompson. And Cassandra came up to me a few weeks ago, and she said she wanted to be baptized. And so, Cassandra, did you have anything that you wanted to say? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Anything? And you answer my questions. So, Cassandra, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Cassandra, do you believe that Jesus died on that cross, paid the penalty for your sins, all of our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day? Do you believe that?
Yeah. I always know that story. I always remember that one piece of story where Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
That's a good story, right? Your mom and dad taught you that story. That's good, early on. Well, Cassandra, I asked your dad to baptize you. So we are going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit right now. hold your nose with one hand, your wrist with the other one. Dad, get up here. Okay. All right. Well done, Cassandra.
Come on in, John. You can, yeah. I'm a right-handed baptizer. I gotta get down there. All right, John. I'm just gonna turn it over to you. Why don't you share a little bit about?
I'm excited to be here. I never had the opportunity to be baptized, and I love the Lord. I want to rededicate my life. I'm starting fresh. I love Jesus, believe in the resurrection, and have God in my heart again. Thank you.
I met John a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I don't know, and one of these guys where he holds all his expressions right on his face, and it's a good thing. I wish we were all like that. And just talking to him recently, just know that this guy has the Lord is doing something in his heart, and I think he told me something like you just want everybody to know that you want a fresh start with Jesus, and you've never been baptized, and I know that you believe in Jesus. I just obvious, and you want to commit your life to Him today. So, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to baptize you.
All right. Who are you?
Chloe.
This is my daughter, Chloe. I've gotten to baptize all my kids so far, actually. I guess I got more to do, don't I? So Chloe asked me here a few weeks ago about getting baptized, and I said, well, I don't know. No, actually, I said, yeah, hallelujah. Do you want to tell people why you're doing this? Okay.
I feel like God has just really opened my heart and told me that I need to get baptized because I've been thinking about it for a while, but I just kind of felt like this was the time, and I know that I want to do this to obey God. So.
All right. So, Chloe, because you believe in Jesus and you want to follow Him, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
All right, Christine. All right, Christine, just share a little bit about your story.
Okay, I'm going to try. About a year ago, I felt that Christ wasn't with me, and I was having a really hard time. So I went to another religion. And I did it because I wanted someone to love me so much I was willing to do anything, even to give up what I knew that my Christ was the one for me. After a little while, I knew it was wrong,
And now I know Christ is the one. And after going through that for a year, it has made me more stronger than I've ever been. And I love him more than anything, and I want to raise my children in a Christ-like home.
Amen. Have you ever been baptized before?
Yes,
at 16. At 16, yeah. But, so this means to you that you want to obey Jesus with your whole life, and that's amazing. So we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, I told John, he's a horse guy. I said, you're going to feel right at home, buddy. We got a horse trough. And he's like, really? Yeah. All right. So, Kathy, you want to share a little bit?
Well, I was baptized a long time ago, and I just think it was time to reaffirm my faith and to be a better person. And I love Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
I think he told me something like, you just want Jesus to know that you're all in for him. You're not going anywhere or something like that. Have you been baptized before?
Yes.
Yeah.
About 40 years ago.
40 years ago, yeah. Well, we're going to baptize you. Let everybody here know and everybody that you talk to that you're all in for Jesus and you're not going anywhere. And so we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just wanted to this morning too. If you're all here and you heard the words from the Lord from the scriptures today, that if you believe in Jesus, the first thing to obey, the first command that He wants you to obey, just about, is to get baptized. And so I just wanted to open the door here for anybody that's here today. You didn't maybe come prepared. You got your church clothes on or whatever, and who cares, right? If you are here today and you believe in Jesus and you've never been baptized and you want to follow Jesus' command and follow His example and you want to come and get baptized, come on, let's do it. Now's the time. And I just want to open that to anybody. And if not, we'll pray. And you guys can hang out and talk to people. So, Father God, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for this symbolism, the ceremony of baptism, that we get a chance to recognize all the work that Jesus, you've done for us on the cross and your resurrection from the dead. And that we get to celebrate that and have new life in Jesus. And so thankful for that. Pray a blessing on those people that were baptized today. I just want to pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come on them, that you will renew and refresh their hearts, refresh their lives with the Holy Spirit, renew and refresh their hunger for the Word of God, that they will read and study and just absorb the Scriptures. And I pray for a renewed dedication to prayer and to service and to worship, and that you would bless those five people this morning. And as they continue to follow after you, I just pray that you will anoint them this morning. I pray that really for all of us here today, that we would all be refreshed and renewed in our spirit, and that we might be dedicated to loving you, serving you, worshiping you, glorifying you, and looking for your return, Jesus. Amen.